You're listening to Upon Further Review, presented by Coors Light on the official Raiders podcast network. Here's your host, Eddie Pascal.
Raider Nation, what is going on? Eddie Pascal and Engineer Jim back in beautiful Henderson, Nevada. And thank you for joining us for another episode of Upon Further Review, brought to you by our pals at Coors Light. And guys, we are now technically, officially into the second week of the league year, meaning we are now also into the second week of free agency. And speaking of free agency and free agents and the newest members of your Las Vegas Raiders, we got a good show today. We are going to talk in just a few minutes to the literal newest member of the Silver and Black, center Nick Martin, who signed earlier today, because you guys know we record this on Wednesdays, and he signed, I don't know, 4 hours ago, 5 hours ago, something like that. So we are going to chat with him in just a few minutes. But before we do that, it's about that time. You know how we have to begin the show, especially at this time of the year, with so many things moving on the roster. We begin with our transactions. So since the last time we spoke, which I think technically was Friday, maybe? I think it was Friday. I looked at my notes earlier, and let's just call it Friday for the sake of that. Since we last spoke, this is what General Manager Mike Mayock and Head Coach Ja Gruen have done to the roster, beginning in chronological order. On March 22nd, the Silver and Black signed offensive lineman Andre James to a multi-year contract extension and also signed defensive lineman Matt Dickerson and defensive lineman Darius Filon. Just the next day, on March 23rd, which would be Tuesday for those of you keeping track at home, the Raiders re-signed cornerback Nevin Lawson. Yes, Nevin Lawson, who was on this team a year ago, hence the re-sign. And then today, the Raiders signed the aforementioned Nick Martin, our guest this week in just a few minutes, and they also re-signed guard Richie Incognito, as well as guard slash tackle Denzel Good. So if we look at what's happened this week, I think two things come out, kind of jump off the page, right? We have brought back some familiar faces. I'm looking at Nevin Lawson, I'm looking at Richie Incognito, and I'm looking at Denzel Good. In addition to that, we have added some competition. And competition is always a good thing. Nick Martin, a guy who has played center, who primarily has played center throughout his career, but also has the ability to step outside and play guard, play either of those interior guard positions. So a guy that offers some depth, who gives Tom Cable, Greg Olsen, and Gruden, who gives them a little flexibility in terms of how they build off their offensive line. And speaking of that offensive line, can we all just relax a little bit? Can we take a deep breath? Can we enjoy a sparkling water and just chill out for a few seconds? Because last week on the Twitter, and look, I get it, guys, I totally do, but last week on the Twitter, everyone was beside themselves regarding the offensive line. Oh, Richie's not on the team anymore. Oh, we traded Trent Brown. Oh, we traded Gabe Jackson. Oh, Rodney Hudson's gone. What are we doing? But we kind of take stock of things. We sit back. We look ahead. We give Gruden and Mayock literally less than a week. And now we sit here a week later, and Andre James has been locked up for a few more years. You bring in Nick Martin. Richie Incognito is back. Denzel is back. And low-key, I think that the Denzel Good signing, or re-signing, I should say, is one of the most important moves that the Raiders have made this offseason. Denzel, a guy who can do many, many things. We talked about that versatility, that flexibility with Nick Martin. Denzel Good does that and some. He's a guy who can literally play tackle. He can play guard. He's a guy who's stepped in at seemingly every position on the offensive line since he got here. And he is just a good football player. He's not the flashiest guy in the world. He's not going to be a guy that you turn him on and you're like, oh my God, this is the second coming of insert player X. But he is a really, really quality football player at an important position for this team. The Raiders like to control the line of scrimmage. That is what they want to do. And in order to do that, you need really, really good offensive linemen. And you don't just need five of them. If last year taught us anything, you need a bunch of offensive linemen. How many guys did it seem like every week last year, it was a different group of guys? Right, you know, changes at right tackle, changes at left guard, injuries, rookie. It, you know, every single week. I talked about this a lot. Tom Cable did incredible work last year, not only just fielding a group of guys each week, but making them incredibly competitive and playing good football. And I know towards the end of the year, the run game numbers slipped a little bit. I completely understand that. There's a valid argument to that. But the fact remains, Tom Cable did a hell of a job getting these guys ready to rock each week. And he's going to have to do that again in 2021. He's going to have to get these guys. He's going to have to find the five best linemen on this roster, put them together, let them gel, let them build chemistry, and really be let them be the catalyst for everything that this team wants to do. And I still think right tackle is a big question. We're going to have to address that, I would assume, at some point in the draft or kind of as we continue through the latter stages of free agency. Because let's be honest, a lot of the big names, a lot of the sexy names are off the market. But there are still quality players out there looking for jobs. And you are going to have to find, you know, some depth pieces and then maybe look towards the draft. Maybe look to late April for your right tackle of the future. Is that something that gets addressed at number 17 overall? Maybe. Is that something that gets addressed on day two and day three? Time will tell. But I think my heart of heart tells me that will be addressed because Gruden and Mayock have very, what's the word I'm looking here? Systematically, very methodically, that's what I was going for. They have very methodically addressed this roster, looked at what needed to get better, and slowly gone about their business and not reached to bring guys in. And I hope that is going to be the case for them going forward. And speaking of guys that they brought in, as I said, our guest this week on the show, Nick Martin. Good dude, man. I'm Team Nick Martin. After talking to him, really good guy. And we talked about a bunch of things. We talked about, obviously, him moving out here, his career in Houston, how just how consistent he was in terms of being on the field and how vital that is. And I think we asked him some of the big questions, too. Like, we're looking at this team now, and I talked about it a second ago. And we're going to have an entirely different offensive line in 2021. How do you gel as a group? How do you get guys together? And because we all know the offensive line has to be a unit. There has to be trust there. They have to be moving as one. More than any other group on the football field, those five guys up front have to move as one. How do we get there? Well, I'm glad you asked. Our guest this week, Nick Martin, had an answer. So, without further ado, on Upon Further Review, hashtag bars, right, Engineer Jim? Play that beautiful audio of our conversation with Nick Martin. And we're joined by one of the newest members of the Las Vegas Raiders, Nick Martin. And Nick, man, congratulations. Happy to have you here. And I'll just start here. Why here? Why Las Vegas? What ultimately led you to come here and be part of the Silver and Black?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, one, you know, the history of Vegas and Silver and Black is unbelievable. There's a lot to this team. The coaching, Tom Cable, obviously the O-line coach, great things about him. He's coached a lot of good players. He's done and gotten the best out of a lot of good NFL linemen. You know, Greg Olsen and Coach Gruden, they love ball. I'm a guy who loves ball. You can tell they're passionate and they're grinders, and that's kind of how I am. So I think it's going to be a good fit.
You know, I'm glad you brought up Coach Cable, a guy who's had a lot of success in this league for a really long time and in a bunch of different places. What have kind of your first impressions of him been throughout this process?
He's great. You know, he's very personable. You know, we've had a phone call. It's nice. Unfortunately, he wasn't in the building today with the pro days and everything. But he has been. He's been awesome, personable. Like I said, he's been here. He knows the lay of the land. And then football, he's kind of like me. Just all he asks is that you work hard, you know.
You know, you look at this offensive line, and over the past, call it 2 weeks, there's been a lot of new faces, a lot of changes on this offensive line. So when you come into camp or whenever it is, how does a group collectively kind of generate chemistry together? Because, I mean, you know better than I that chemistry is so key with those big guys up front. How do you do that with a bunch of guys who are essentially playing with each other for the first time now?
Yeah, absolutely. And it starts, you know, off the field. You know, the O-line group is always usually so close. You're always in the meeting room. You know, you got five guys. You got half the offense out there, so you have to be close. And there's a lot of that continuity you have to build. And like I said, it starts off the field, whether it's a dinner, going to the guy's house, and then, you know, it just continues in the meeting room, the weight room, spending more time in walkthrough, and then onto the practice field where ultimately, you know, on the game field where it needs to come to fruition.
You know, how do you kind of, I don't know, this might be kind of a hard one. How do you value the depth of an offensive line. But you look at this place a year ago, you look at the Silver and Black, and it seemed like every single week there was a different combination of five guys out there protecting Derek. How important is it to have depth from the tackles to the guys on the inside and the centers, everyone kind of being able and confident to step in if their number's called?
It's very important. Do you know what the rules in place, too? You only have seven, probably eight guys up at O-line at the most, that interior swing, that tackle swing guy. And it just depends the year. You know, I've been in part of years where you stay healthy, and then there's other years where you look out there and it's a whole new five guys. You know, part of that is luck. It's a violent game. It's a very fun game. And, you know, you want to stay healthy as long as possible, but it's not always the case. So depth of the O-line position is very important.
I mean, you look at this offense a year ago led by Derek Carr, and in pretty much any way you dice it, it's a top 10 offense, a really effective offense. Do you come in here and do you look like, say, hey, it's on us to just keep this train rolling and keep things headed in the right direction?
Absolutely. They've had success here, and it's been really good. You do. You know, you take that upon yourself, and you want to work, like you said, build that continuity where you can keep that going for whether it's Derek or Josh Jacobs running the ball or whoever it is.
You know, I was just looking back at your numbers before we announced that you were coming in, and you're a dude who doesn't miss games very often. It seems like you really never miss games, and I'm looking at since 2018, you haven't missed a game. Have you come close to missing a game in that time? Have there been times where you're kind of gutting through it? Is that important to kind of keep that streak going?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's, you know, availability is dependability. So you do want to be available at all times. And like I said, it's a violent game, but it's such a beautiful game. You're going to have nicks and you have to fight through stuff, but that's just part of it. And that's why, you know, everyone loves it. You get to grind it out, play out there. And it's not just you. Everyone, you know, it's a long season, week 15, 14. Everyone's hurting from every team. So it's always fun to go out there and kind of grind it out and just, you know, keep good ball out there.
You know, we were talking about a year ago how effective this offense was, and a large part of that was due to Josh Jacobs. Now, Josh headed into year three, which is crazy for us to say, but you bring in Kenyon Drake as well, another guy who's coming off a career year in Arizona. How excited are you just to get a chance to know Josh and Kenyon, to get a chance to block for them, and like I said, really just keep this train rolling?
I'm very excited. You know, obviously around the league, great players like that. You hear about them, you watch them when you can on Sundays, but now to be a part of it and see it and get to know him, I'm very excited because he runs hard. They both do, and it's going to be very fun to block for them.
You know, free agency this year is such a unique situation, right? You know, for so many reasons. We're kind of living in this COVID world. And I think that a lot of people forget there's a human element to free agency, right? Where you're moving cities. You're going to live in Las Vegas now. Do you know any of the guys on the team? Like, are you familiar with any of the dudes on this roster? Are you going to walk in and be making a whole bunch of new friends in a couple months?
Yeah, absolutely. I know a couple guys. I played with James Onuwalu at Notre Dame. Jeff Heath, he played on the Cowboys with my brother and his wife, Paige. And that's the other thing, too. People don't realize, you know, the why. And girlfriends and stuff, they have to get up and move too. But luckily, my wife knows Paige, Jeff's wife, and you know, it'll be good for us. And it is. It's crazy. You move up, move cities, but it's so exciting too. And Vegas seems like an awesome place to have a team and live, and we're very excited for it.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of people here, and you'll see over the next couple months as we get closer to the season, this city is so excited for football. This city is ready to get in that beautiful stadium we have down just off the strip and to get that packed on Sundays. And just last one here, wrapping up with Nick Martin, we were talking about a mutual love we have for the city of Indianapolis, and I was so bummed that there was no traditional combine this year and we weren't able to, you know, spend some time out there. But give me, on a Friday night, you and the wife, what is the go-to spot for you in Indy?
Go-to spot. I mean, it might be St. Elmo's, man. You can't beat it. The ambiance, the shrimp cocktail, you can get a good steak. You can walk around, hit a bar or two, have a beer, and so easy to get around, meet some friends out. Well, hopefully soon meet some friends out and do that whole thing. But, yeah, it's a great spot and a great city.
Yeah, absolutely, a great city. And we're excited to have you here, man. Congratulations. I'm sure today's a very exciting day for you and the family. So, like I said, congratulations, best of luck, and hopefully we see you in here sooner than later.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
And a big thank you to Nick Martin, and congratulations on the new deal. And I like this guy because he's a fan of Indy. Among other things, I think he's going to be a really good piece for this offensive line going forward, too. But as a man whose ancestral home is Indianapolis, Indiana, I salute you, Nick Martin. So what are we going to do? We are going to crack a few ice-cold ones, ice-cold Coors Lights, some cold ones. We're going to get out of here because we got a lot to do. It's been a busy couple days. It's been a busy couple weeks, really. And I think we got some things to do, things to accomplish. But before we do that and tie the show up, as we always do, let's just hear a quick message from our friends at Allegiant.
Touchdown. Las Vegas.
Since starting Allegiant some 20 years ago, we've flown more than 100 million people to be with those they love. We're pilots, flight attendants, and technicians, but we're also parents, spouses, and neighbors. And just like you, we're excited to reconnect with the people and places that matter most. That's why we're going the distance for health and safety, on the ground and in the air. Because the further we go now, the safer it'll be to go farther tomorrow. Allegiant, the official airline of the Las Vegas Raiders. Low fares, nonstop flights, only at Allegiant.com.
And it's about that time to wrap things up to hit the Dusty Trail because, as I said, we got a lot going on. But before we do that, we're going to crack a few ice-cold Coors Lights. And because we operate on a program with, I don't want to say no rules, but very few rules, today I'm going to crack two ice-cold Coors Lights. Ice-cold Coors Light number one is a sad one for me. Bittersweet, I should say. Not sad, bittersweet. This ice-cold Coors Light is for our pal Gabe Jackson. And Gabe's trade officially came through late last week. Was it late last week? I think so. What is time anymore? But regardless, Gabe will be spending the 2021 season in Seattle with the Seahawks. And I think that for me, I want to crack this one for Gabe for one, not only being just a stud his entire time here, for really just being a quiet, show up to work, you know, one foot in front of the other, do what needs to be done kind of guy on the inside of that offensive line. But on a personal note, when we first got here, well, I should say when I first got here, when I was an intern, I think my intern year was Gabe's first year, if memory serves. And I'll just put it this way. We weren't winning a lot of games in those days. Things were not... I'll say this, we had a lot more L's than we did W's. And when you live in a world like that, and keep in mind this is pre-COVID, right? So we actually had access to the locker room and all that kind of good stuff. Guys don't really want to talk. When you're sitting at 3-9, guys don't really want to talk. But I will forever remember that during kind of some of those lean years, and every team has those lean years, it's just the reality of this game, it's the reality of this league. And it feels like some teams have more lean years than others, but every single team has lean years, I should say. And when I think of those lean years, we relied on Gabe so much, and it almost became kind of a joke between us and me and our friend Marcus and Justin Lum, who now works in Phoenix as a newscaster there. He was with us at the time. And we would always go up to Gabe, and Gabe would always kind of give us this look of like, come on, guys, again. And this was, like I said, either Gabe's first or second year in the league. But he always did it. He always stood up there. He let three guys who were still trying to figure things out, who were just doing their best, honestly, he would let us ask him a few questions. He would humor us. And I will forever remember that. I am forever grateful to Gabe for doing that. And Gabe is a guy that didn't talk a lot, especially during his later years here. I wouldn't say a guy that was anti-media at all, but a guy who was who liked to keep to himself, who was very open about what his life looked like after football, kind of what was important to him, his family, you know, he told us all the time about how he wanted to buy a big farm in Mississippi. And when he retired, just go and stay there and live with his kids and be happy and just be a normal dude. And Gabe didn't do, like I said, he didn't do a lot of media stuff. I can't imagine in Seattle we're going to see a lot of Gabe Jackson. But he was so good to us just on a personal level. He was such a, you know, such a welcoming spirit. And like I said, I wish him nothing but the best in Seattle, except if we were to play the Seahawks in the Super Bowl. Then I do hope that perhaps Gabe has a bit of an off day. But I will forever be a fan of Gabe Jackson. I will forever be grateful to Gabe Jackson. And like I said, he was just such a good dude and such a quiet leader and such a quiet part of the success of those offensive lines. And we will miss him. So that's ice cold Coors Light number one. And the second ice cold Coors Light, I'm going to bring us up. I feel like KMM bringing us down. I'm going to bring us back up before we get out of here. This second Coors Light, and the second one is always so much better than the first, because the second you're like, oh, okay, we're in motion now, boys and girls. We are rocking. And this second Coors Light is for Dana Altman, the leader of your Oregon Ducks, because my Ducks are dancing, baby. We are back into the Sweet 16, and Dana's got those boys rolling. And then on the women's side of things, too, they're in the Sweet 16 as well. So Dana Altman gets this one, this Coors Light, because regardless of the team, regardless of the year, like, oh, boy, I don't know if this is going to be a good year for the Ducks. He always has them playing their best basketball at the right time. And the women are doing their thing. I'm going to say it. I would love nothing more to have the women's national champion and the men's national champion both reside in beautiful Eugene, Oregon. So congratulations to both of the squads. Let's keep on rocking because this is a lot of fun. I missed the madness so much last year. And the fact that both Oregon teams are just dominating and representing for the Conference of Champions right now brings a smile to my heart. And I want to end with a smile in my heart, a positivity in my spirit. So, for Eddie Pascal, Engineer Jim, our guest this week, Nick Martin, our friend Alexandra behind the glass doing her thing, and everybody else at Silver and Black Productions who helps get our little program from A to Z, we thank you deeply, humbly, and oh so sincerely. And Raider Nation, enjoy the weekend. Stay safe, stay healthy, keep wearing your masks, and we will see you next time on Upon Further Review.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Upon Further Review, presented by Coors Light on the official Raiders Podcast Network.